obesity blame from their calories to your lack of exercise. This is Jim Hightower saying, next they'll be promoting the Coca-Cola workout plan. Do several repetitions of 12-ounce elbow bends each day with cans of Coca-Cola and keep your heart strong by briskly striding to the fridge to grab each can. Remember, every repetition adds up.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
The international hacking network Anonymous has pledged to release the identities of 1,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan. Anonymous says that the KKK is a damaged, dangerous, fragmented collection of terrorist cells with a hate-based ideology and a well-documented history of violence against the American public. As such, the Hacker Collective says, they're not concerned about hurting the feelings of the members of the KKK. In their statement about Operation KKK, the anonymous hackers say that the American public should not be subjected to victimization by hate groups. They've not yet released any of the KKK members' identities, but have pledged to do so over the coming days. The KKK is a group based in an ideology of white supremacy that had its origins in the post-Civil War South, when its members lynched black people, burned crosses, and terrorized black communities across the U.S.
A Texas police officer who shot and killed an unarmed black father in 2013 has been shielded from prosecution by a federal judge. The judge ruled last night that because the 51-year-old white police officer Charles Kleinert was working for a federal task force at the time of his killing, he cannot be prosecuted for the crime. The man he killed, Larry Jackson, was 32 and the father of four young children. Officer Kleinert was at the door of a bank in Austin, Texas, where he was investigating a bank robbery that had taken place earlier. Jackson approached the bank, but when he saw the officer, turned and ran. Officer Kleinert took off after him, even trying to get a passing driver to let him commandeer her car in order to chase Jackson. When the driver asked if Jackson was dangerous, Officer Kleinert said no, but he chased him after him anyway, getting in the woman's car, then pursuing on foot, striking Jackson twice and then shooting him dead. The family of Larry Jackson demanded an investigation and prosecution of the officer, and for a while it seemed like the state prosecutor's office was actually succeeding in pressing charges against the officer. But then lawyers for the cop filed a legal clause demanding that he be immune from prosecution because he was working on a federal case at the time. A judge agreed and yesterday threw out the case against the officer. The so-called supremacy clause is a 150-year-old rule that provides immunity for law enforcement officers who are working for the federal government when they carry out crimes. It was used in 1998 to drop the charges against an FBI agent who had killed Vicki Weaver, the wife of a separatist, Randy Weaver, at the infamous Ruby Ridge shootout in 1992.
The European Parliament has voted to drop all criminal charges against Edward Snowden. The vote passed 285 to 281. It also added that the NSA whistleblower should be allowed to seek asylum in the European Union. Parliament members in favor of the resolution said that he should be granted protection, quote, in recognition of his status as whistleblower and human rights defender, unquote. Although the resolution will have no immediate effect on Snowden's ability to leave Russia, it serves as a clear sign to European member states that he should be granted protection within the EU. In response to the symbolic vote, Snowden tweeted that the vote was, quote, not a blow against the U.S. government, but an open hand extended by friends, unquote. In an email to the Daily Dot, Snowden's lawyer, Wolfgang Kallek, urged the member states to take immediate action to implement the resolution. The United States has extradition treaties with nearly all European states. It's unclear how this resolution would apply in relation to the new measure if, for example, a member state refused to extradite Snowden. Although the NSA did not directly comment on the vote, their spokesman Ned Price told the Daily Dot that the U.S. position has not changed, and that Snowden should be returned to the U.S. to face prosecution.
British citizen Shaker Amir returned home to the United Kingdom today after 14 years in Guantanamo Bay prison camp. Amir was never charged with any crime but was tortured extensively by the U.S. military while at Guantanamo. Shortly after 9/11, he was captured in Afghanistan, where he was working with a charity group. He was sold to the U.S. military by bounty hunters. Although the U.S. tried to claim that he was a member of Al-Qaeda, they never found any evidence to back this claim. Amir was cleared for release in 2007, but remained in Guantanamo for an additional 7 years before being flown home to Britain today. He underwent numerous lengthy hunger strikes, demanding that he be released. Instead, he was force-fed repeatedly by U.S. forces, even though force-feeding is a direct violation of international treaties and conventions that have been signed and ratified by the United States government. Today, Amir was reunited with his family in London, including his 14-year-old daughter, whom he had never met. His wife was pregnant with the child when Amir was taken by U.S. forces in 2001.
The British human rights organization Reprieve has criticized a call by some members of parliament to restrict the use of the Freedom of Information Act in the UK. The group said in a statement today that freedom of information is a crucial tool for keeping our political system honest. For more, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with Donald Campbell from Reprieve.
We're going to talk about the Freedom of Information Act there in the UK. But first, we heard that Shaker Amir has finally been released after 14 years in Guantanamo. Your group must be overjoyed and relieved to have him back home.
Yes, absolutely. It's great news. And obviously, he was held there for all that time, you know, without ever being given a trial or even charged. He had been cleared for release for many years. Both the British Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition in Britain had called for his return. So it's long overdue, I think.
Well, and we are going to talk about the Freedom of Information Act. Now, what's been going on there has been a call by a member of the UK House of Commons to curtail the Freedom of Information Act, saying that it's being misused by journalists as a tool to generate stories. Well, as a journalist, I kind of see that as part of the reason for the Freedom of Information Act. How is that a misuse?
Well, exactly. I mean, The government here in Britain has been for a while talking about ways to try to weaken our Freedom of Information Act. They've set up a commission that's meant to review it, but the people they put on that commission are kind of include known opponents of the act, people who have said it's gone too far, people who are, to be honest, opposed to greater government transparency. Chris Grayling's actually, he's a member of the government. He's the leader of the House of Commons, is his title. Yes, and he said something to the effect of using it as a sort of a research tool to generate stories in the media is abusing the act, which is, as you say, I mean, it's astonishing. It's suggesting that journalists who are doing their job, who are playing an incredibly important role in keeping the public informed, are somehow misusing the FOI Act.
Is there a connection, do you think, between this suggestion that the Freedom of Information Act in Britain should be curtailed a bit and the revelations that British pilots have directly become involved in the Syrian conflict?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was an interesting story because that was an FOI request that Reprieve had made as well. And it actually emerged on the same day that the government announced they were going to try to scale back parts of the Freedom of Information Act. I think, to be honest, I think FOI is something that governments quite often find an inconvenience and that politicians find an inconvenience when they are in government, but realize is a very useful tool when they're, you know, not actually running things. So, you know, it's not attacks on FOI aren't limited to one party. It's quite often the government of the day. And I think there are a lot of things about FOI that make them uncomfortable. But I think I would argue that, you know, it should be making them uncomfortable because, you know, it should be exposing things that maybe the government would rather remain secret, but that the public have a right to know. And so it's got a very important role in that sense.
Again, we've been speaking with Donald Campbell. He's with the British human rights group Reprieve. This is Jinka Soderberg with KBOO News.
Around 7,000 people gathered at the border area between Slovenia and Austria today. Many were seen collapsing due to fatigue and the hardships of their long journey as they fled from war-torn and poverty-stricken countries, primarily Syria and Afghanistan. People are being herded through metal barriers like animals, noted concerned onlookers who were there to offer their support, handing out bread and cookies to the refugees. 150 Austrian police and 400 soldiers are shepherding up to 4,000 refugees a day across the border